At the end of the day, with me, Ronnie Barber, joining us is Chris Pringle, as ever, the chief executive of Cambridgeshire FA. Chris, how are you today?
Very well indeed, Ronnie. Good. Very well indeed. And you?
Yeah, I'm good, good. I'm good and I'm not good. Here we go again. I see in the website and the press, Great Britain entering a team in the Olympics. Why is the FA so hell-bent on this initiative, do you think, Chris?
I think it gives it a bit of a point of difference. And I think it follows the model, really, of other sports, doesn't it? Where you think, okay, sort of season in, season out, we have the nations playing their respective sports, but then every 4 years we come together and have hopefully some sort of a GB team. And I think in 2012 it worked really well. We had mostly the men's and the women's teams were English players, but there was still a good smattering of players from the other associations. I think that's a good thing, and it gives it a point of difference. And the kit was brilliant.
Yeah, oh yeah, the kit was very nice. But we all know what's going to end up, Chris, and I've got two thoughts here. We all know it's going to end up as a load of Englishmen plus Gareth Bale or a Welsh player. There'll be no Scottish players, very little in terms of Northern Ireland or any of that. So we know what it's going to go with. So what's the point? And maybe even, and I might go with you on that, Chris, maybe even if we have a quota system where that you have to have a certain number of players from all the home nations.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to work better if all the associations sort of buy into it and say, yes, we're supporting it and we encourage our players to go. I think last time round, obviously, I think the Scottish FA said, well, no, we're against the idea for various reasons, but players can make their own mind up. Obviously, that's not really encouraging for players to do so. They're not quite sure maybe where they stand. So I think if associations do feel comfortable with it, then they can perhaps encourage the players to do so. I'd like to see it. I'm not sure quota's the way forward, but, you know, as long as it's being, you know, it's a fair sort of selection policy, then I think that's absolutely fine, in the same way as all the other sports run. Why should football be any different?
Because they're making multi-millions already, Chris. You know, it's maybe, you know, some of the smaller sports could benefit from it. But what I wanted to ask you as well is how does the interplay happen between the FAs, the FAs of Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland? Do you all get on very well?
At our level, probably we don't see any of that. I mean, obviously, part of this relates to IFAB, the International Football Association Board, which is made up of the home nation. So, you know, there was a meeting last week, and it's the home nations that, you know, originated that group that presides over the laws of the game and still does. It's now made up of members of UEFA and FIFA and other nations as well. But it's predominantly still, you know, those home nations that are involved on it. And one of the great things for us, you know, there's been a pilot around repeat substitutions at lower leagues, step 7 and below, and that was an IFAB pilot. That's now come through as a permanent rule change. So that's a really positive way of the home nations working together to help grassroots football. So really pleased about that.
Gus, a busy night. We have to talk about your being sent to the stand. I mean, what was your view of what happened?
Well, I've been sent off for kicking the bucket of the bottles. I think the bottles coming out of the bucket didn't help me. What can I say? I mean, I don't think it's nothing really serious.
So, Chris, we were going to talk about the good things that can happen with managers and referees. And then, as we just heard, Sunderland versus Hull, we saw the ugly side of it as well. Let's talk about the positive side, that Poyet was very happy that the referees had come to their senses.
Brilliant, wasn't it? I mean, I was just all sort of, you know, picking this up on Tuesday, just about to use it in some communication stuff just to show, you know, the benefits of the leadership and the integrity of the pro game. Sort of, I think his quote was, one of the best things in life and football is part of life is to live by the rules and be honest. And thinking, great, what a great message for our grassroots clubs who, you know, do that week in, week out. And then obviously, probably within 24 hours, the incident with Steve Bruce on the touchline, you know, which to say took the gloss off it would be an understatement. So, yeah, really, and really, this is the issue we have at our level. It's basically, you know, we have a good news story that gets hidden away inside the back pages of the paper and very little coverage, quite frankly. But then, obviously, something negative, and it's all over the news, on the back page, possibly front page as well. And that really just sums up how we can at times shoot ourselves in the foot. So, you know, very mixed mixed sort of set of circumstances this week for football, definitely.
And maybe in the defence of the two managers, you know, it just shows you what's at stake here, Chris. Actually, that game, if you're taking the sort of long view, that game could be worth millions to the both clubs, couldn't it? Because if one goes down or even they both go down, you know, that can cost a club millions of pounds.
I understand the stakes are high, but I think that's even more reason for people to behave and show the integrity of the game and those values Poirier's talking about at the start of the week. We need to see that, you know, that honesty, integrity. We need to see that week in, week out at all levels of the game, irrespective of whether the stakes are high or not. The stakes are high in business, aren't they, at the highest level? But, you know, you don't see people sort of carrying on, you know, in some of these histrionic ways. I just think there's no place for it. People have got to keep control.
Do you think, you know, that kind of seeing that, and we talked before, Chris, about, you know, bad sort of fouls on the pitch and arguing with referees, that doesn't filter down that what we saw with Poyet and Bruce, the negatives, that doesn't filter down to the game at this level, do you think?
It can do, yeah. I mean, to say we don't have issues at grassroots level between coaches and managers, you know, wouldn't be right. There's been issues over the years, you know, and people at our level will still say, well, it's the passion of the game, you know, it's important. We need to win a league or we need to win a cup or whatever. And I'm saying, well, no, we need to uphold the values of the game first and foremost and then learn to win and lose accordingly. So people do, and you know, the spitting thing that's come out overnight, that's not to say that kids won't look at that and sort of model some of that behaviour, and there's no place for it. We can't have it. We need a positive example from all aspects of the game, really, for everyone.
Finally, Chris, you wanted to talk about girls' football sort of the makeup of is it the coaching aspect of girls' football in the country is changing?
Yeah, but in certain parts of the country, the FA have looked at it and thought about the talent pathway, trying to get girls from grassroots clubs, you know, playing in the senior England squads at all the age groups. And they've looked at the eastern region, which up till now has had a couple of centres of excellence in the region, and said maybe there's a better way of doing it. And we've had some conversations this week, in fact, been really interested in looking at that. Well, one of the main benefits is to establish a much better link between the clubs and a new coaching centre that will be established in Cambridgeshire. And there'll be others in the region as well. So there'll be more of these coaching centres offering really high-quality coaching. But at the same time, the girls will be able to keep playing for their clubs. So, you know, one of the issues maybe in the boys' game is it's almost a transfer of the talented players from the grassroots setting into a pro club, and never the two shall meet. So this is a really positive one, that, you know, the girls can practice week in, week out with, you know, their clubs, but then get enhanced coaching over about a 30-week period as well. And then the talented ones will still move into a sort of an East Region centre of excellence with the opportunity to then progress into the England camp. So it looks on paper a really good idea. Be a difficult transition from what we've had now, but really optimistic that it'll work much better for the girls in the future and give them a smoother pathway into, you know, the higher levels of the game. So it looks really positive.
Yeah, it really is positive and exciting, Chris, because we've talked before about women's football and certainly in Cambridgeshire, it's really vibrant, more clubs coming together. I mean, I just wonder how far away we are from having like a first and second division, a premiership and a championship sides at that level in women's football. Are we close to that? Because at the moment, there's just the premiership clubs, isn't there?
Yeah, do you mean sort of at the Women's Super League level?
Yeah.
What do you mean in Cambridgeshire? Yeah, I mean, I think there is a tier below, and there are teams playing in that sort of, you know, Division 1 or Championship, if you like, you know, with aspirations to get into the Women's Super League. So there are more and more sort of teams of those happening. And I think it's an old-fashioned development game, Ronnie, in terms of, you know, as the game grows at county level, the pyramid will get stronger and stronger. So, but it's got to work for the base until eventually there are more teams in that championship level, you know, and I hope in the future that maybe Cambridge has got, you know, a women's team operating at that level and maybe even challenging for WSL as well at some point in the future, you know, that'll be really something aspirational for the players to aim for. So, yeah, it's still building blocks, but, you know, I think it's important to put the structure in place, and this looks a really good stepping stone on the way towards that.
All right, let's get the bad news finally in this part, Chris. We came unstuck. We thought that this podcast was actually the turning point for Nottingham Forest's fortunes. But they came unstuck during the week. Would you like to discuss that?
Well, aren't football fans ridiculous in their superstitions, you know, and the fact that we could even link our podcast to the fortunes of a championship football club, and, you know, sometimes making sure you're wearing the right socks on your way to the game and all that, because that's my lucky socks and we won last game. So it's funny how we do those things. But yeah, came unstuck at the Valley. Think dominated the game, but couldn't put the ball in the net often enough. So that was a real shame. But still a promising start, but I just hope that the owner doesn't go into meltdown now we've lost a game and sack the manager and go for our 10th manager in 3 seasons. Yeah. You know, stability is the watchword.
You've got a tough one this weekend. You're at home to Middlesbrough.
Of the Borough, yeah. Hoping to head up to the fatherland this weekend.
Are you? Okay.
Have a little look at that. Yeah, so it's all good fun. Actually, my son dug out some pictures of the old ground, and because I'm ancient, I said, yeah, it looked like that when I first went. So I'm going to upload one of those pictures onto my Twitter account, I think, just for old times. So
is that when things
were the trendset?
Was that when the world was in black and white then, Chris?
Well, the picture was, it was 1978, so the picture was black and white. So I did say to my son, the world was in black and white. He believed me.
Back of the net.